Let's check in with our own Win Rosenfeld, who's here to talk to us about what he's working on for L Blog this week. Hi, Win.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. One of the things people like about the show, I hope, is the fact that the blog is so active and alive and it's got its own whole world going on. You and Rachel Martin, our newscaster, on Friday, you went and spent a day at the Goodwill store in D.C., not for shopping.
No, not for shopping. We're actually checking out the Goodwill of Greater D.C. has got a new push to rebrand themselves. They want to no longer be viewed as just sort of dusty old hand-me-downs, but they want to be a cool place to shop. To that end, they've hired a fashion blogger. They call her the DC Fashionista. And they're trying to attract more higher-income customers to expand their base. This is a clip from Brendan Hurley, who's the vice president, trying to explain sort of the idea behind that strategy.
By engaging, you know, this new population, a younger, more professional female audience that has a little more disposable income using an online strategy, we felt that we could develop a personal relationship with them without alienating that core shopper who probably is not yet into blogging and using social media.
So it's a little bit like what they have in New York called the Housing Works thrift stores, where mm-hmm. they'll only take a certain level of clothing from you when you come in, because they do want to have this higher end customer who's willing to pay $40 for a jacket versus $4 for a jacket.
I think they would say that they still have, you can still go there if you're part of their core base, that they're still going to accept clothes from all different, you know, strata of socioeconomics, but that they do want to also appeal to somebody who maybe you're more sort of vintage thrift store shopper, not someone who's just needs
right. Because there's this kind of like strata of different thrift stores. There are the places like Goodwill that are just big, huge warehouses full of clothes, and then people like my sister Liz in Seattle used to go to those places and buy the hip used clothes, mm-hmm. and then they would go up to like the next level of thrift store where you
and
know
sell,
it's sort of been
them.
Culled. Yeah, yeah, she would resell them. So like then you can go to the thrift store that costs a little less than a new store, but it ain't Goodwill. But now mm-hmm. Goodwill, it sounds like it's trying to kind of draw
I think
in those.
Exactly, and they're trying to cut out the middleman there.
Ah,
so a little bit of that has to do with storefront, and they're sort of, you know, putting hip mannequins together. And Rachel Martin, you know, she got fitted for some pretty rad outfits.
Okay.
She said that's cute like 5,000 times.
So we'll get to see that cute video on our website coming up. What else?
Oh, the other thing is yesterday Luke spoke with Klaus Lackner about the trees that suck carbon out of the air.
Right, these big mechanical trees he wants to build.
Yeah, they're fascinating. It's sort of a way of, you know, cleaning the environment. This leads to an obvious question, though, is that once you suck in all this nasty carbon, well, you know, what do you do with it? You can't just dump it. So these guys at Columbia University at the Earth Lab there are working on finding ways to safely store it underground. And it seems like the trick to doing that is to finding ways to seep it into the strata and make it react with the chemicals that are underneath there and make it a solid so it can't seep out into your drinking water or kill you as a pocket of...
I would appreciate that.
Yeah. Be nice, because it's not tasty. Here's a clip from Jörg Meiter of the Lamont Laboratory.
These type of systems and rocks allow to store and sequester CO2 permanently and, you know, in an environmentally friendly form, which is a calcium carbonate mineral. So what we learn here with these experiments is how fast does it, you know, how much time does it take to neutralize the injected CO2 by water rock reaction? And that's what we can study here, you know, in that borehole.
And he says borehole there, and that's because what they've done is they've dug a 1,000-foot hole, and it's like really massive, and they're fun science nerds.
Wait, this hole is where exactly?
It's at the Lamont campus at Columbia University, so that's right off the Palisades.
It's like is it 116th Street and 5th Avenue?
Yeah.
I
no,
need to be
a little north of that, but
okay.
I think I drove over that pothole in a cab the other day.
But it's still equally surreal because it's like a campus. It's out there. There are people walking around. And in the middle of it, there's just these giant tanks of chemicals that are pumping them into this massive hole. And that's my story, guys.
All right. Those are two great stories. The videos will be up on our website/blog, npr.org/Bryant Park. Thanks, Wynn.
Right,
thanks, Wynn, man.